So why don't you stand to your feet and welcome Joel, Pastor Joel, to the scene. Woo! What?
I love this church. I've never been welcomed onto stage with Smells Like Teen Spirit before, but I reckon that's a great... I don't know if I'm supposed to say that or not, but hey, it's so cool to be here at Cross in the Bay of Plenty, my home. At City Church, Tauranga. Man, I remember a whole lot of times coming in here for school stuff and all that kind of deal, and to see what you guys have done with the building is so inspiring. I came and had a look a little while ago, the other week, and walking around, my spirit came alive with expectation of what we can see God do over the hill there in Hamilton as well. You guys are leading the way and doing such a great job. You know what I'm a little disappointed about, though, is... You got rid of the little portico thing that used to stick out the front, because I had a kind of an affiliation with that portico. I don't know if your pastors even know, but I actually crashed into the portico, took half of it out in one go with a truck, and we may or may not have done a runner and kept driving, I'm not sure, but that was back in youth pastor days, but Onslaught kind of days. Some of you guys might have been around then, showing our age at that point, but hey... I'm married to my beautiful wife, Sarah. She couldn't be here tonight, but she is going to be with you guys, or with the ladies, next week, so that's cool. And I've brought Dan Moore with me. He's our new worship pastor at Hope Chapel, so please get to know him. Give him a hand as well. But I grew up in the Bay of Plenty out at Tauriko when it was still country out there and not industrial area up Elk Road. It's where I got married. And we've got three beautiful kids, Alia Rose, Hugo, and Asher, and they're aged 3, 5, and 7. So it's busy time of life, but it's awesome as well. And we got married, we moved over to Asia for a year in our first year of marriage, and then we were a couple of years in Australia, and then decided to come home to make babies, as you do. So we did that, and we finished at 3. The first time I ever preached in the church that we've now leading, I got up there as a guest minister and said that we have two children and one on the way. And the problem was we didn't have one on the way. And so Sarah was quite shocked on the front row, and it was just a bit of a joke. The trouble is the very next week we found out we did have one on the way. So I'm never, ever going to do that joke again. But we took over, as Pastor Alan said, we took over the church over there in Hamilton, and it's so awesome to be part of C3. It's one of the best decisions that we made. And we're fairly new to the C3 movement as well, for Sarah and I, about 3 years into it, and it's such an awesome journey. You guys are doing such a great thing, and I just want to say from Hamilton and around there in the Waikato, welcome to C3. It's so cool to have you guys as part of the family. I want to honor your pastors, Pastor Alan and Eleanor, such great leaders, right? You guys, you know, it's sometimes so easy to take pastors for granted. They're just sort of always there and doing the thing and speaking into your life. But, you know, some pastors are the real deal and some of them aren't, actually. But these guys are the real deal. And they've done the long haul and the hard yards and laid a foundation for you guys and doing amazing things in this city and beyond. So, hey, why don't we give Alan and Eleanor a huge round of applause? Sarah and I are really excited to just begin this whole new journey with them as part of the C3 family, and we're close in proximity as well, and we're excited to join with you guys and to learn from you as well and to go on this whole awesome journey of building churches together. So this is like a cool opportunity to come and share with you tonight, but for me it's so much more than just coming to speak at a church as a guest speaker. It's like the start of a journey of relationship together, and so I'm excited. Well, for me that's what it is anyway. Hopefully for you guys it will be, but that's sort of where we're heading. So welcome to C3, and you know what we love about C3 on this early journey into it is that, and we didn't even know this when we joined C3, is that there's somehow this unique blend of things in the C3 movement. And we got around as we traveled that there was a whole lot of churches that are really full of faith and vision and moving forward and pumped for the future. But the trouble is, if it's all that, it just becomes a machine and an organization, and it burns out people and drives people away from God in the long term. But the trouble is, on the other side, we've been in churches where there's just, it's all about the Holy Spirit and an encounter with the Holy Spirit and about the next touch and the next feeling from God and the goosebumps and that feeling of like, and it becomes so inward focused and all about ourselves and this experience that there's no outward and moving forward and growing for a purpose. And for some way or another, C3 seems to have found this unique blend between the two ends of the extreme. And it's something that Sarah and I were trying to articulate and figure out what God was calling us to. And it's so exciting to find a balance in the moment where it's about an encounter with God that changes lives and impacts, but for a purpose, to grow in Him and become like Christ so that we can be more and we can step out and we can achieve more and move in faith and build buildings and plant churches and all of that exciting stuff. So, man, you guys are in for an awesome journey together in the C3. We're a great family here around New Zealand and beyond, and so it's really exciting that you guys are part of this movement. So, anyway, all that aside, let me read our text for tonight. It's in Matthew 26, verse 36. So I'm going to speak a message tonight that's more of a testimony or a story than an actual message. But there is an element of a message in there. But I just wanted to share a little bit about our journey tonight so we get to know each other a little bit better. Is that cool? Yeah. All right. Jesus prays in Gethsemane. Verse 36. Then Jesus went with them to the olive grove called Gethsemane, and he said, "Sit here while I go over there and pray." He took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed, and he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." He went on a little farther and bowed his head with his face to the ground, praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken from me. Yet I want your will to be done, not mine." And then he returned to the disciples and found them asleep. He said to Peter, "Couldn't you watch with me even for 1 hour? Keep watch and pray so that you'll not give in to temptation. For the spirit is willing, but the body is weak." Then Jesus left them for a second time and prayed, "My Father, if this cup cannot be taken away unless I drink it, your will be done." And he returned to them again, and he found them sleeping, for they couldn't keep their eyes open. So he went to pray a third time, saying the same things again. And then he came to his disciples and said, "Go ahead and sleep. Have your rest. But look, the time has come. The Son of Man is to be betrayed into the hands of sinners. Up, let's be going. Look, my betrayer is here." Now, my three little kids, you know, we're on this parenting journey, and we're probably a whole lot newer at it than a lot of people, but we've learned a few things in the 7 or so years that we've been parents. And one of the crazy things that we've learned is how much technology is involved in kids' lives right from a really early age. And my kids, they can pick up our phones and swipe through the screens and open apps and close apps, and we can put passwords on them and lock them, and they still know how to do it somehow, you know. And that even Asher, when he was real little, I found him in the lounge, and he'd got a couple of boxes and stacked them up, and the TV was turned on. And he was onto the home screen, and he was up there trying to swipe the TV screen to change the channel. And Alia Rose is like, "Oh, Asher, you don't do it like that." And she said, "Look," and she grabbed Sarah's phone and opened it up, unlocked it, got the Apple TV remote on the phone and started choosing a Netflix program for them. I was like, "How did you know how to do that, right?" And then Hugo found a little old Nokia phone in my office drawer. You know, the old school ones that had little buttons on it and a little screen on the top. And he was trying to tap the screen to wake the phone up. And I'm like, "No, that's not how it works. You actually have to turn the power button on these sort of ones." And so, you know, and then I found Asher. Again, he had a little RT radio for the boat, and he was trying to find the screen because it didn't even have a screen. He was banging on the thing and trying to open it up. And he was trying to say, where's the screen, Dad? These guys just have a whole different understanding of technology than what we did. And they amazing how they can do it. One of the most clever things that I realized that they could do from a really early age, maybe 2 or so, is they could get a photo and they could put their fingers on the screen and go like that and pinch and zoom it and bring in the perspective on the photo. They were looking at people's faces and zooming out and swiping to another one and zooming in. Pinch and zoom, I think, is what they call that. And I was amazed. How do you do that? It's almost as though it's just so intuitive, isn't it? It's like you can just, well, obviously, if you want to see something, you just pinch it and you pull it closer to view that thing. You know, Everything in life has a pinch and zoom moment attached to it. To get a bigger perspective, we've got to pinch and zoom. So that's actually the title of my message tonight, Pinch and Zoom. And I'm hoping that you know, you don't usually remember most stuff that people say from the platform, but I'm hoping that you'll at least remember the title of my message, Pinch and Zoom. See, in this passage that we just read, Jesus is getting closer to his crucifixion. This is not a happy moment for Jesus. He says his soul was crushed with grief. It's not one of those kind of highlights of the year kind of things you'd put up on a remembrance reel like you had tonight. It's not one of those Instagram-worthy moments where Jesus was going through. He wouldn't be posting about this sort of stuff online. He was struggling. He was in a tough place. The Bible says he'd become troubled and he decides to go and pray. Now that's great advice right there, church. If you're troubled, go and pray. I actually think this is a word for at least one person here tonight. So often we want to shout out to the world to get all the sympathy that we possibly can. We want to get all the people on our side and get our offense feared and challenged and all of that stuff. No, pray about it. Here's the word for you tonight, okay? Don't post about it, pray about it. I got to say that again. Don't post about it, pray about it. Okay, we can all go for dinner now, right? That's the message done right there. So Jesus takes his three closest disciples and he tells them to keep watch while he goes to pray. Verse 37, he took Peter and Zebedee's two sons, James and John, and he became anguished and distressed. And he told them, "My soul is crushed with grief to the point of death. Stay here and keep watch with me." And he went a little further and bowed his face to the ground praying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup of suffering be taken away from me. Yet I want your will be done, not mine." This happens three times. And he keeps going and finding them fast asleep. Now there's a whole message in that. I'm not going to go there tonight, but that's something to look into. It's a crazy story. But here's the thing, church. Jesus was fully man in this moment. So he dealt with the same things that we deal with in life. He still dealt with struggles and temptation. He dealt with pain in his heart. He dealt with stress and anxiety and all of those beautiful things that every one of us have to face in life. Jesus went through those things. And probably in this moment, my soul is crushed with grief. But you know, he was God as well. And it actually made it worse because he knew what was coming to him in the next little while. "Let this cup of suffering be taken away from me." He was about to be betrayed and would lead to his death, and he knew it. You know, by the way, Gethsemane, where he was at the foot of the Mount of Olives, actually means oil press. They use pressure to crush olives to produce the oil. You know, pressure and stress and trial and pain are not necessarily bad things for us. Pressure builds character and faith and all sorts of other good things that you can't get without those kind of moments of soul-crushing grief. We just have to face it, right? Rise above it and keep moving on. So anyway, how did Jesus get through this tough moment that he found himself in? Well, he kept praying even when his friends were asleep. First of all, that Jesus knew what was coming to him, but he also knew, get this, he also knew what was beyond the grief that was coming, what was beyond the pain that was coming, what was beyond the suffering. Jesus knew the big picture. He understood the big picture of what he was there for. Jesus was able to pinch and zoom on his situation. He knew what was happening. He got that pinch and zoom thing going on right there. 2,000 years before smartphones were even invented, Jesus knew how to pinch and zoom. He got perspective on his situation. He just zoomed out and could see the victory that was not too far away in his life. See, he had to see the victory in the conclusion of his story to get through the chapter of his story that he found himself in this moment. He had to see the end of the story to make sense of the place in the middle that he found himself in. Now, I love reading novels. I don't seem to get a lot of time at the moment with little kids and ministry and all of that stuff. But I there's nothing better than a great adventure, thriller novel type thing. But you know the the deal is that they all follow the same kind of format, no matter what the author is or how good the book is, right? There's a few chapters where they're introducing characters, and then there's a few chapters where they start to set the scene, and then the tension starts to build over a few chapters, and it reaches this climactic kind of moment where everything seems lost, and then there's a victory. And then they start setting it up for the next one, so you buy the next book afterwards, right? That's sort of how those novels all work. Setting the scene for the next adventure. Church, you've got to hear me tonight. Just like Jesus in Gethsemane, your story might not be where you want it to be right now. You might be in that boring middle chapter in life, the stuff that no one likes to post on Instagram, the mundane day-to-day grind, or maybe it's the weekly grind, or for you, maybe it's a monthly grind where you just can't seem to get out of that rut. Or maybe you're in that climactic, epic, thrilling chapter of the book where life is chaotic and crazy and everything seems to be going wrong and it's tense and your personal world seems out of control right now. Or maybe you're in that dark, gloomy chapter where everything is going wrong, and to be honest, you might even be a little bit depressed or lonely. Or maybe you're in that chapter where everything is going wrong and there seems like there's no hope at all chapter. We've all been there. Listen to me when I tell you, you just have to pinch and zoom. It's the key to life. Pinch and zoom can save lives and save marriages and save callings and resurrect dreams for people. Pinch and zoom. Who has ever read a book that finishes in any of those chapters? There's always another chapter to come. Your story is not going to finish in the chapter that you find yourselves in right now. There's another chapter being written. There's another page to turn. There's a whole new day on the rest of your life. There's always more chapters to come. See, Jesus, his story didn't end in a dark moment of soul-crushing grief at the Garden of Gethsemane when he's crying out to God to save him from it and his disciples are falling asleep. His story didn't end with him being beaten and tortured beyond recognition. His story didn't end with him being nailed to a cross. His story didn't end with him being in a tomb. There was a victory chapter coming in Jesus' story, and he knew how to pinch and zoom to see that story. He rose and conquered sin and death, and he lives today at the right hand of God the Father, praying and pleading for your life. It's not the whole book. We all have stories and chapters. Some are bad, some are good, some are pure hell, if we're honest, right? That's the beauty and complexity of life that we live in. The trick to dealing with any chapter is to find ourselves, what we find ourselves in, is to realize it's not the whole book. It's just a chapter. As you're sitting here tonight, just remember you're living a chapter, not the whole book. Here's the deal. Because Jesus is in your story, if he is, no matter what chapter you find yourselves in, there's always hope for a great conclusion. Because he came to save your life and to give you hope. And my daughter, Alia Rose, is 7. She's into reading chapter books right now. And she, when I used to drive her to school, she'd read the chapter books in the back of the car because she was so into it. The trouble is, she was so into it, it became like real life for her. And it was too intense. Now, I don't know what's intense about a 7-year-old girl's chapter book, okay? I'm not sure what's going on in the plot. And she's like, oh, I can't cope. You know, it's so scary. But she figured out something, right? She figured out that if she turned to the last chapter and read how it finished, then it was okay. She could read it again. I reckon that's kind of a key to life, right? Because if you know the end of the story, it takes the power out of the chapter that you're living in right in this moment. Because there's always hope for a new day. I feel like I'm preaching to somebody here tonight. We just need a pinch and zoom. Brings perspective. Now, since we're getting to know each other, I thought I'd tell you a little bit about my story tonight. And I'd love to keep preaching from that passage. There's so much in there. Go and read it and study it out for yourselves. But I want to share my story. And Sarah's actually going to follow on a little bit from this at the ladies' night next week. So please make sure you do go to that and invite some friends to come along. But if we rewind my story 12 and a half years ago, it must have been about the time that Pastors Alan and Eleanor were taking over the leadership of the church here. I was a youth pastor here in Tauranga and having a great time. Life was awesome. I was single. That's not why life was awesome, but that's just information, okay? I was single and having a good time. We had a great cranking youth ministry, great stats. People were getting saved. There was drug deals going on in the car park and houses being broken into and kids turning up and stolen cars and all of that kind of crazy stuff that made youth ministry fun. And I just met Sarah, who was going to be my future wife, and life was good. It was a great chapter for me. And then everything changed in a moment. I was at a friend's wedding, and I was looking forward to doing a speech at the wedding because I flattered with this guy, and I had some inside goss, and I was so pumped to share this speech at the wedding. And then I started feeling a little bit dizzy, and I thought I was going to pass out, and I was hot flushes, and I was like, oh man, I'm really unwell. Someone took me home, and I went to bed. I didn't know at the time, but I wouldn't be able to get out of bed again really properly for 12 months. I just got hit with a nasty bug and it sent my immune system out of control, and really it ended up being like ME or chronic fatigue and a whole lot of other things going on. It messed my life up as a young single youth pastor with everything going and lots of social life and friends, and it changed everything. I had to resign from my job. The doctor said that if I wanted to even survive, I couldn't be working. I resigned from, I had to move home back to my parents' house. Who knows, that's always a struggle, right? After you've moved out and independence and all of that stuff. And I moved home and I lost a lot of my friends and social life, and it was just a really, really hard challenge. And I was praying for healing, and a lot of people were praying for me, and the healing just didn't come as we expected that it would. And it was a real challenge for me. I had to come to a place where even if I didn't get healed, that I could still trust God, who is the Lord of my life, and learn to realize that my identity wasn't wrapped up in what I did, but who I actually was. And I learned to praise God in the middle of that situation when I couldn't get out of bed and I felt like I was going to die. I just kept praising God. And we had some amazing, intimate moments in that chapter of my life, and I was desperate. You know, I learned to realize that God's glory is not defined by his answers to my prayers. He's God regardless of whether he answers my prayers or not. And my circumstances does not define who God is. He is God regardless. Eventually, I did start getting healed in increments. I had people come and pray for me and do soaking rooms and different things. And I'd get a little bit better. And I was like, yes, I'm going to be great in the morning. And I'd wake up and still be unwell. And it took a number of times just to see little tiny incremental healing. But I kept hanging on to it. But then that chapter changed again. 2006 changed to 2007. And I was completely healed in the new year, completely set free. And God gave me a word that I was not to take my sickness into the following year. And I claimed onto that, and people prayed around that in faith. And the year rolled around, and I was completely healed and completely set free. We got married a week later, and I've never, ever had that issue again in my whole life. 12 years of marriage. Praise Jesus for that. You know, through that year, I got a whole lot closer to God. I also developed a bit of an empathy for people who struggle in health things. I probably wasn't the most compassionate or merciful person for people who struggle with health. And suddenly I understood a little bit more, right? And so I had a little bit more empathy. But here's the deal. I would never change the fact that I stand on faith and healing no matter what is going on in our world. I will never bow down to sickness, and I'll call anyone who struggles in health issues to keep believing and keep fighting and keep pushing through, because God is your healer. You know, too often I see people in the name of compassion or empathy trying to identify with someone who's struggling with a health issue. It's as though you almost get into the pit with them. Church, listen to me, please don't do that. They don't need you to be in there identifying with them. They need you to be standing on the outside, extending a hand, saying, come on, you can do this. Keep fighting, keep believing. We're going to stand with you and pull you out of this struggle, and we're going to see you set free and victorious. Do not succumb to the battle. God is bigger. Stand up, push through, keep fighting. Here's the deal. Faith always pulls our circumstances into the will of God. Let me say that again. Faith will always pull your circumstances into the will of God. See, I now looking back on this chapter with a bit of perspective, 12 years later, I realized that the sickness that I thought was destroying my life, where I had no future, now when I look back on it all these years later, it feels like just a tiny blip on the radar. It honestly feels about a day long. this whole year. It feels like about a day because I've got perspective now. I'm able to pinch and zoom from the future, looking back on it, realizing that it didn't change anything about who I am and where I'm going. And in the chapters that followed this challenge, God restored everything to me, my health and my friends and my life and my ministry. I was able to get married to this beautiful girl and we have three amazing kids. God is into restoration. But you know the awesome thing about chapters in life is that you learn from them, right? God teaches you some incredible stuff in these challenges. And you might be sitting here thinking, man, I'm in the middle of a tough challenge right now. Right. Instead of just asking God to take it away from you, ask him to teach you what he needs to teach you through it, to give you the faith to stick it out and to keep believing and to keep praising God regardless of your victory. Yeah. So fast forward 12 years from that moment to a year ago, October 2017, just over a year ago today, my chapter was about to change again. This time it was one of those gut-wrenching ones, kind of, I guess, how Jesus might have been feeling in Matthew 26. See, my chapter was kind of similar to the one 12 years ago. Life was great, had an amazing family, a church that's growing rapidly. We're planning location, renovating a building. Life is just going awesome. Lots of vision for the future. It was a fun, happy, successful chapter. And then Hugo, my middle son, he's 5 now, he jumps up on my lap and hurts my left nut. All the guys are kind of cringing, right? Girls are like, what? Did he just say that? This is church. It's all right, we're C3, it's okay. It's all right, we're not going to go there. It's okay. If I don't get invited back, this is why. We talked about nuts. Okay, anyway. Right, how am I going? Okay. The thing was, it was still sore a few days later, and so I booked a doctor's appointment, kind of just half-hearted about it, because Sarah was going on at me to do it, and I thought, oh, I probably wouldn't go. And they said, actually, we've got a cancellation if you come right now. And I was in the car, and I was like, oh, man, there's no turning back, is there? So I went to the doctor for this appointment, and I quickly lost count of the amount of times that I had to drop my pants for some stranger in this chapter, okay? It was rather uncomfortable to start with. Now I just don't even care at all. But anyway, it's a whole other story. Okay, I said I wasn't going to go there. All right. Let's just say having an ultrasound on your bits and pieces. Now that's another story, okay? Probably not one for Sunday night church. But I had a fire alarm in the middle of my procedure, so I got 2 rounds of the ultrasound. I thought, until this moment, I thought ultrasounds for like, were pregnant tummies. And the lady was like, have you ever had an ultrasound? I was like, no, I thought my wife has those things, right? Anyway, everything changed from that first doctor's appointment. You never expect to get diagnosed with cancer in your 30s. Came out of the blue. And for weeks, we didn't know how bad it was, how long I had to live, or anything else about the condition. But here's the deal, church. You've got to hear this. I'd learned how to pinch and zoom. He'd healed me before. He can heal me again. He set me free once before. He can do it again. It was a chapter once before. It's just a chapter again. There's another chapter to come. This is not the end of my story. I'm going to praise God anyway. I'm going to stay above it. I'm going to confess with faith. And we're going to keep believing for my healing. Faith pulls our circumstances into the will of God. Yes. Pinch and zoom. Pinch and zoom can change everything about how we handle a chapter that we're living in a moment. Yeah, it rocks you. Yeah, it was a really tough chapter. The treatment was hard. But Jesus is my healer. Yes. Our faith wasn't shaken as a couple. He can heal me, and he will heal me. But even if he doesn't, God is still God. Pinch and zoom. I had pastor friends from Australia ringing me up saying, how's my head? Where's my head at? And I was like, what do you mean? I actually didn't know what they're talking about. I said, I don't have cancer in my head. They were trying to check to see if I was okay, mentally, emotionally, that sort of stuff. I was like, I'm actually fine. I'm actually fine. My wife used to give me a bit of a hard time because we're in the process of building a house or looking at plans. And she was like, well, if you're going to go and die, then we're not building the house, are we? So she was like, let's put that on hold. I was like, hang on a minute, that's a bit too soon, right? By the way, I'm not going to die. Praise God for that. I've been through surgery and chemo, and I'm slowly getting back to strength again. I'm officially now in 5 years of remission, and the last CT scan I had was another clear result. I've got another one in a month's time, and you know how we're praying? That it's another clear result, that God's my healer and he set me free. We're going to keep on pushing on. And right now, tonight, you may be having a tough time in life. Life can be hard, and it has its fair share of challenges. The circumstances surrounding your world right now may not be pointing to the greatness of God and the glory of God. Maybe life is a bit of a mess for you right now. Or life is not where you expected it to be by the stage or age that you are. Life hasn't quite worked out the way that you planned and dreamed of. It's just a chapter. It's just a chapter. Pinch and zoom, friends. Your life is more than your current season. I feel like I'm prophesying that over some people tonight. Your life that you are living right now is a lot more than the current season that you are in. Your life is more than your chapter. If you made a mistake, listen to me, it's just a mistake. It's okay. Learn from it. Keep moving. Keep pushing on. Pinch and zoom to get a perspective of God. See how he sees your life. If Jesus is in our story, then there's hope for a new day and a brighter future. Listen to this. Jesus does not need your circumstance to define his power and his glory and his wonder. He's Jesus regardless about what you're going through. He's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, and he died and paid a price for you. He sits with the right hand of God the Father pleading for your life, for your chapter that you are in right now. He does not need your circumstance to back up his glory and his splendor and his wonder. He is God, regardless of the chapter that you're in right now. And he is all the hope that we're ever going to need. Now, I don't have time to go into my whole cancer journey today. To some extent, we're still probably living that out. I'm dealing with some of the repercussions from chemo, but the fact is I've got a great prognosis, and I thank God for that every day of my life that I'm living right now. So many people don't get that, and I'm just stoked beyond belief at how blessed I am that I'm one of the ones that I get to see my kids grow up and to live a life serving him. I don't have all the answers, but what I can tell you is this. I'm doing a much better job of pinch and zoom this time round than I did 12 years ago. Because my perspective has changed. I wonder if the worship team could come. We're going to close shortly. And church, we need to keep a bigger perspective. Keep believing. Keep positive. Do you know the world needs the hope that you carry in your heart? It's not just for you. It's for people around you. No matter what life throws at me, I am determined and have made a resolution that I'm going to keep speaking, I'm going to keep loving, and I'm going to keep ministering no matter what chapter I find myself in. Speak anyway. Praise God anyway. Give him glory anyway. Praise unlocks things and causes faith to rise in your heart. And it impacts people in the world around you beyond what you could even believe for. So I guess, friends, tonight, my encouragement to you is simply this. No matter what chapter you're in right now tonight, please learn to pinch and zoom. We're all going to have those Gethsemane chapters, soul-crushing grief. They're the ones that produce the oil, the character. They grow you and stretch you and challenge you and shape you. And that's okay because it brings out the good stuff that God's put in there. We just need to push through, to keep going, to keep believing. We all have a job to do, and that's to reach lost people with this beautiful, powerful gospel message of hope. Jesus, He is the answer that this nation needs. And you, friends, are His ambassador. Please don't let one bad season or chapter prevent you from stepping in and achieving all that God's called you to achieve in your life. Don't write yourself off. Don't disqualify yourself. One bad mistake, one wrong decision, one curveball that life has thrown at you. It is just a chapter. There are so many more being written about your life. You are not disqualified. There is always hope. You just have to pinch and zoom and keep on moving. Keep on striving.